A new report from Redfin is showing big issues cropping up for landlords in the U.S. housing market. Most notably, rents are dropping and dropping fast in many different cities. And these lower rents, they're now causing home prices to drop. With this report from Redfin talking about how U.S. asking rents fell 1% year over year in April, the biggest drop in 14 months. You can see rents in Austin, Texas were down by almost 10% year over year. Rents in Minneapolis were down by 7%. Rents in Portland were down by 5%. 5% in Raleigh, 5% in San Diego, 4% in Jacksonville, 4% in Salt Lake City, 3% in New York, 3% in Phoenix, 3% in Orlando. And these declining rents are great news for you all out there if you're a prospective home buyer, because not only is the cost of renting and waiting to buy a house cheaper, these declining rents will filter through to home prices in many markets because the investors are now having to reprice how they buy and sell homes due to these declining rents. For instance, take a look at this listing on a house in Pflugerville, Texas, which is to the north of Austin. The owner on this 3-bed, 2-bath house has had to cut the rent from $2,300 a month down to $1,700 a month over the course of a year and a half. So that's a 26% decline in rental rate on this house. Now, $1,690 a month, everyone, that's only $1.48 a foot. And it's a rent level that's now back to what we saw in 2020 when the pandemic started. And so if the rents in certain markets are dropping back closer to pre-pandemic levels, the investors that own houses in these cities are experiencing massive, massive issues because the property taxes have continued to go up. The homeowner's insurance costs have continued to go up. And the result now is just quite simply a mass investor sell-off. You can see in a market like Austin, there's now 11,000 homes on the market. This level of inventory is the highest we have seen in at least a decade, probably going back 15 to 20 years in Austin's housing market. It's a level of inventory that's now about 80% higher than the long-term average. And so when I see investor sell-off, when I say inventory is increasing, just take a look at this graph for Austin, Texas. The declining rents, which have gone down by about 23% from peak, are causing investor owners to sell and causing prices to drop. Now, Austin is the worst hit housing market in this downturn so far. Home values in Austin are down 20% from their peak in the middle of 2022, which is a legitimate crash. I view a crash as anything above a 10% decline in home values. That's a crash, because a 10% decline in home values is enough to cause many local homeowners to go underwater. And in terms of the cities where home prices have gone down the most since the middle of 2022, here's what we're talking about. We have Austin at minus 20%. Then we have New Orleans at minus 13%. And then another Louisiana metro, Lake Charles, is minus 12%. Then we have Punta Gorda, Florida at minus 12%. Boise, Idaho at minus 8%, San Francisco, California at minus 8%, Chico, California, minus 8%, Northport, Sarasota, Florida, minus 8%, Hit Coral, Florida, minus 8%, Phoenix, minus 7%. And so in many of these markets, not only are the prices dropping and the inventory going up, but the rents are going down, which is great news if you're a prospective home buyer and you live in a market where there's a lot of apartment supply, where the rents are dropping, because it's going to mean a further increase in affordability. It's going to mean more investors selling. However, one thing I want to be clear about is that this housing downturn in the US and the decline in the rental market is not evenly distributed across the country. And so what I'm going to do for you right now is show you more of the cities where rents are dropping and where home prices are dropping, but then also show you the cities where rents are actually going up and where there's still a housing shortage and where home prices are going up. And for this analysis, we're going to look at data from Apartment List. They're also an apartment data provider. And they break out here the metros with the fastest year-over-year rent change and the metros with the slowest year-over-year rent change. So in terms of the markets where prices, or where I should say rents are dropping the most, it looks similar to Redfin. Austin, minus 5.9%. Denver, minus 4.7%. We got Phoenix, Salt Lake City, Tucson, Raleigh, Jacksonville, San Antonio, Dallas, and Atlanta as the markets where rents are going down the most. But where are rents actually going up the most? Well, it's areas in red on this map. Rents are actually going up the most in Fresno, California, plus 5%. Providence, Rhode Island, plus 4.6%. Chicago, Illinois, plus 4%. San Francisco, plus 4%. San Jose, Kansas City, Virginia Beach, Cincinnati, DC, and Baltimore. So the markets where rents continue to grow are largely either in the Midwest Northeast Rust Belt or are in the Central Valley to Northern California. These are the markets where rents are still going up, whereas the markets where rents are dropping are in the South, Southeast, as well as in Florida. You can see the rents are dropping all across Florida. They're down as much as 9.2% year over year in Punta Gorda, 2.8% in Lakeland. Interestingly, in Tampa, rents are holding flat. And then Miami, they are starting to go down a bit. And so what I believe we are seeing is a reversion in migration. I think the reversion in migration helps explain those regional differences in terms of where rents are dropping and going up. And the result is kind of changing dynamics and where home prices are going to go up the most over the next couple years. You know, on a month over month basis, home values are going down in about half the US, and they're going down in the Southeast, in Texas, in the Southwest, even now in California, Oregon. Home prices are dropping on a month over month basis, according to data from Zillow, which you can find on Reventure app. Meanwhile, if we isolate the states where home values are still going up, you can see it's squarely in the Northeast and Midwest. Values are still up anywhere from 0.1 to 0.7% month over month. And so if you are someone who does want to buy an investment property, maybe you're an investor who's still in the market, you want a place to buy where values are increasing, where rents are increasing, it's going to be in these states, and it's also going to be in certain cities in these states. And what I'm going to do at the end of this video is actually reveal to you all the cities and states that I actually think are best for real estate investors to buy in 2025. But first, let's get back to that investor data and look at the areas where the investor purchases have gone down the most, because it's quite shocking how much the demand has dropped off the table in a short period of time. One market where the investor purchases have collapsed is Fort Lauderdale, Florida, folks. Look at this, Florida. In Fort Lauderdale, 2,600 investor purchases in the third quarter of 2021. That's down to 1,300 in the fourth quarter of 2024. That's the lowest level since about 2012. Fort Lauderdale, similar to Phoenix, was a market that had a big surge in investor purchases in 2005, then a big collapse. Prices in Fort Lauderdale went down 50% in the last downturn. We're seeing a similar drop in investor purchases today. You can see in Miami, it is much the same thing. The investor purchases are down by about 65%. In Jacksonville, the investor purchases are down by 70%. Absolutely massive decline in investor activity in Jacksonville. If we head on over to California, we can see in Sacramento, the investor purchases are down by about 50%. So a big slowdown in investor buying in Sacramento. You can see in Los Angeles, the investor purchases are down by a little bit. They're down by about 25%, but they're much more stable. LA is a market that I think is a bit more resilient in terms of investor activity. The investor buyers in LA tend to have cash. They don't focus as much on rental rates and cash flow. So there's more resilience in LA. Investor purchases in San Diego also look similar. They are down by about 45%, but they're roughly now back to what they were before the pandemic. Same thing in San Francisco. The investor purchases are down by about 30%, back to pre-pandemic levels. And if we head back towards the inland U.S., you can see a market like Nashville. The investor purchases are down from 2,300 to 900. Now, one market actually in the inner U.S. that's interesting is Cleveland. Investor purchases in Cleveland are still near their highest level on record. They haven't really gone down. So Cleveland, this is a Midwest market that the investors, especially the ones on bigger pockets, a lot of them like Cleveland because there's still a housing supply shortage. The rents are still going up. You can also see investor purchases in Milwaukee. Yeah, they've gone down by a bit. They've gone down by about 30%, but they're still above pre-pandemic norms. And the Wall Street Journal actually just ran an article about how Milwaukee is one of America's most cutthroat rental markets. In this Midwestern city, a lack of housing supply has baby boomers, millennials, and Gen Zs all vying for apartments. At the start of 2024, Milwaukee's rental market was 94% occupied, 70% of renters renewing leases, and 8 renters competing for each apartment, says Douglas Ressler, business intelligence manager and analyst with Yardi Matrix. And what I'm going to do for you all right now is run you through the housing markets that are most and least overvalued. Because this overvaluation rate will be one of the key metrics in helping you understand if it's the right time for you to buy a house right now, whether you're a regular home buyer or just looking to buy a house, you know, for a place to live, or you're an investor. This overvaluation rate will be key data and information for you to take in about your local housing market. Now, one reason why the Midwest has done better, especially over the last couple of years, is because prices are not as overvalued. For instance, in Illinois, home values are only 4.9% overvalued compared to their long-term norm. In West Virginia, they're only 9% overvalued. In Pennsylvania, they're only 11% overvalued. And if we actually turn back the clock to about to a year ago, we can see Midwest values were even less overvalued than they are today. So prices have still gone up in the Midwest over the last year, which is why these overvaluation rates have now gone up. However, the markets that are still most overvalued are in the Southeast. We're talking Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, are markets where prices are pretty overvalued. We head out to the Mountain West, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, prices are 23, 24% overvalued. And then Idaho and Montana, prices are 30% overvalued. So the more overvalued the market is, the bigger downside there is to buying and the less future appreciation potential there is. However, there's big differences by city, everyone. For instance, if we zoom in here on Texas, where is the most downside in Texas's housing market right now? Well, in Dallas, prices are 25% overvalued. The typical home value is 373. The fair home value is 298. In a second, I'm going to explain to you all how we come up with this data of overvaluation. But in Dallas, we're 25% overvalued. But in Austin, we're only 8% overvalued. So Austin has gone through a heavy correction so far. Typical home value in Austin now is $449,000. Fair home value is $416,000. So we're getting pretty close in Austin to fairly valued. As soon as it crosses fairly valued, I'm going to probably give a buy signal on Austin, Texas. Meanwhile, it's interesting. If we head out here to Louisiana, we can see prices in Louisiana are actually undervalued. That's what the blue here means. When you see the blue and the negative symbols for overvalued, undervalued, prices are undervalued. In New Orleans, prices are 12% undervalued. So prices didn't perform as well in Louisiana last 5 years. Income growth was better. And now this is an undervalued housing market. Also see there's big differences in over-undervaluation across Florida. Yes, most of Florida is overvalued, but it really depends on where you go. And it depends on the city and zip code as well. The zip code overvaluation levels also are really important to look at in your city. If you see your zip code 70% overvalued, I mean, that's a big warning. If it's 70% overvalued, like here in Miami and Brownsville, that's telling you, be very, very careful buying. Typical home price of 417, fair home value based off incomes of 245. That's a lot of downside risk if you see that overvaluation level that high. You can see this market was 63% undervalued in 2012. So take a look at this, everyone. In Brownsville and Miami, prices went from 180,000 down to 54,000 and are now up to 417,000. Where do you think they're going to go next? I have a feeling they're going to be going down, and they're going to be going down soon. And the way we determine overvaluation is by looking at a very simple metric. It's the home value to income ratio in a market and looking at that home value to income ratio today compared to the last 20 years. And if home prices are trading for a higher multiple compared to income today, that's a signal that prices are overvalued. If they're trading at a lower multiple compared to income, that's a signal that prices are undervalued for that market. And one really interesting area of the U.S. right now where prices are undervalued is Manhattan. So you can see in Manhattan, home values are trading for 10.8 times income. Really expensive home price of $1.1 million divided by median income of 104. But check this out. That 10.8 home value to income ratio is the cheapest it's been in 20 years. And actually, the long-term average is 14.4. So typically in Manhattan, condos and co-ops trade for 14 times income. Now they're traded for 10.8 times income. That's a signal of an undervalued housing market. Prices in Manhattan are undervalued by about 25% right now. Meanwhile, a market that's very overvalued in comparison would be Las Vegas. In Clark County in Las Vegas, the typical home value to income ratio is 5.6 today. You can see this 5.6 multiple is well above the long-term average of 4.3, indicating that home values in Las Vegas are overvalued by about 25%. So, you know, ultimately, you as a home buyer and investor, you need to understand this overvaluation data for your state, your county, your zip code, all the way at the zip code level, so you can see in your city and neighborhood which areas are undervalued, which are overvalued, and by how much. And that's going to give you great insight into where prices could be heading in the future. That overvaluation rate is available under a premium plan on Reventure app at the cost of $39 a month. In terms of how much that cost compares to the cost of buying a house, you can see our monthly Reventure app plan of $39 a month is 0.1% of the cost of buying a house. And our annual plan cost of $399 is 0.11% of the cost of buying a house in the U.S. Ultimately, really affordable option for gaining peace of mind about your home buying investment decision. And actually, a lot of users have used ReVentureApp to save lots of money. If you use the forecast and the overvaluation rate, you could find the right areas to buy. You could also decide to wait to buy and end up saving yourself a lot of money on the home purchase in the end, often tens of thousands of dollars some people have saved by using ReVentureApp to help them understand when and where they should buy. So go to www.reventure.app right now and sign up for that annual plan. Especially, it's a 15% discount. It's going to get you access to that data for a year so you can prepare yourself and make a more informed real estate home buying and investment decision.